In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Maldonado. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me in a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website at redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. Wish to contact us, email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. The show's broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. You can listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen to us using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following. For Studio A, 605-562-4209, and for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates. And this, the list is getting longer, Ken. WDDQ, FM 92.1, Adel, Georgia. WJNW, AM 1650. Hermitage, Tennessee. Talk Radio, AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona. WMQL Radio, FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina. Kaufman County Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas. Tax Pro Radio, Gainesville, Georgia. A couple of new ones, and one of these I should give an apology to. I should have added them at least a couple months ago. WCNR, Digital Broadcast in West Virginia, and a brand new one starting, I guess, I think this week or last week. I forget. K98Talk.com, and I don't know where the heck they're located, but they are a digital broadcast network, so they're internet only, but still, we're proud to be on their station. With that, let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how you doing today, sir?
Good. Welcome to the news stations. First order of business is your AC working, Primo?
Yes, it is. Thank God.
I felt bad for you last week.
Hell yeah. I mean, I thought I was going to have a stroke. And it was, we were doing the show kind of in the morning, and it wasn't quite as bad. But, long story short, had the guys come out. They checked it on Monday and basically said, yeah, this needs to be replaced. And on Friday, they ran the unit in.
So, you went all week without it?
Yeah, I mean, because they had to get one, order one, or whatever the deal was, and get it here and get shit. I don't know how all that works, but I knew it was going to be later in the week before I got it. I was just hoping it would get here for the weekend, because during the week, at least, maybe I go out in the truck and I got air in the truck, and then I go to a client's office and they have air, and you know, I can kind of survive, you know. But once I got home, it was rough. I think I told you last week when I went to the movies on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. It was 92 degrees in here, and I went to the movies. and it was nice and cool in the movies, and I thought, I might watch a double feature and just stay here a while.
Sneak over to another theater.
That's yeah, good. But I didn't. I went ahead and went on home and kind of suffered through it, and whatever. But, yeah, thank God for air conditioning. I'm telling you, we're just big weenies now. I mean, compared to, you know, I would have never made it in the Old West or anything like that.
I grew up, you know, we grew up with the fans going at night and the doors open. And,
oh, yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, yeah. We did not have air conditioning, no.
No.
I don't think I ever experienced air conditioning until I was probably in high school, maybe.
Yeah, I remember getting the window units, you know, first, getting those things in.
Yeah.
And coming in from outside and going straight over to the window and where the unit was and just putting my head down in it and going, oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I was having to do because the air wasn't working, and my daughter thought of this, and I was too dumb to think of this, when she came to visit me the other day, and it was hot in here, and she said, you have to stick your head in the freezer. And I go, well, that's a good idea.
You never did that? We used to do that.
Well, yeah, I have too. In the past, but it just didn't click. And later on, it was really hot. I took her advice. I put my head in the freezer. Of my refrigerator. I go, oh, that feels pretty good.
You should have got a selfie and put that on Facebook.
Yeah. You know, I've never done a selfie. So I wouldn't, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I'm just not into the program, Primo.
This whole thing of people doing selfies of themselves, I just do not get that. I mean, if someone takes a picture of you, fine. You know? But to sit there and actually take a picture of yourself because you're so enamored with yourself, that just does not click to me. I just don't.
Well, they, you know, they do it with they have the sticks now, the selfie stick.
Oh, I know. I mean, did you see the famous photo with Obama with a selfie stick? I thought, what a big putt.
Did you hear about the lady that was in Yellowstone and her daughter, I think, and they took a selfie with the bison behind them?
Oh, I saw a headline about it, but I didn't read it.
And then the next thing she knows, she's up in the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That thing took her, and she even showed the pants, her pants from the I mean, she wasn't hurt, thank God, but it hit her, and she was, it threw her in the air, and she showed her pants, and her belt was all torn up, and her pants were all ripped up, and
good Lord.
I said, you know, lesson number one, don't turn your back to a bison.
Yeah, true. Okay, let's get going here. God, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to try to cram this in, and we spent too much time talking about air conditioning and selfies.
Busy week this past week.
Yes, it has been. First of all, visiting back to the situation in Chattanooga that we had, of course, last week with the four Marines and one sailor were killed. There's been memorial services in Chattanooga, and I know for a fact, I saw this video, Ken, down in your part of the country. I don't think it was an interstate, but it was a connector, and at least four lanes, I'm sure. I don't remember exactly how many lanes it was, where everybody was pulled over to the side, and they had a procession of motorcycles and cops, and there was a funeral procession of this one of the guys that was killed was from Georgia.
Yeah,
he was
Colonel Skip Wells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was being brought home.
He was from this county. He's from a high school. He went to high school not too far from me.
Oh, okay. I thought that was good to see, and the flags that were draped on the overpasses and stuff like that, and just, yeah. You know, that just shows you what Americans are made of. You know, I mean, fact everybody took time out of their day and got out of their cars and stood there, and that's just, you know.
There's hope. Yeah. There's hope still for our country in there.
Well, maybe. I keep getting discouraged with all the stuff that's been going on here lately, but... anyway, one of the angry protesters in the Chattanooga event that they had here basically asked, when is the government going to do something? And, of course, the government responded, and we talked about this last week, that they wanted the recruiters and stuff at these facilities not to wear the uniforms. Of course, they couldn't carry weapons, which is, of course, the case anyway. But they came out the new one this week. They told them to close their blinds.
That's the best they got.
That's pretty much the best they got. Oh, and also, the Pentagon also asked citizens to quit standing guard outside recruiting stations.
Huh.
because literally all over the country, not in every single recruiting station, of course, but in a lot of recruiting stations all over the country in several states, armed citizens who had the license to carry and so forth or whatever stood outside the recruiting station standing there in case something else happened. Which, like I said last week, isn't it kind of – because this actually happened in either Tennessee or Georgia last week. One or two places did this, but that spread quickly, and a bunch of places were doing this week. And I mentioned last week that isn't it kind of crazy that citizens are protecting our military when it's supposed to be the other way around, the military protecting our citizens? But in this case, I agree wholeheartedly with what they did. I mean, that's fantastic that they did this to
proud of
protect
them.
Our guys. Yeah, I'm proud. Yeah, I'm proud of the people who did this. That's just wonderful. All right, let's move on. Did you see this interview with Obama being interviewed by Jon Stewart on The Daily Show?
Some of it.
Well, I just saw bits and pieces of it myself. I didn't watch the whole thing. Where the Obama denies the IRS deliberately targeting the Tea Party.
Well, you know, of course, the Benghazi was started by a video, Primo.
Well, that's true. That's true.
He went on The View, and Susan Rice said it four times in four different talk shows. Well, you know, the guy just, he lies. I mean,
Here's the thing about the IRS thing. When this first broke, the story first broke, Obama said that this could not stand. We're going to investigate this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And he said that this occurred. And now he says he didn't. And he's like trying to rewrite history.
Not a smidgen of evidence. Yeah. Bill O'Reilly.
I mean, you can't believe a damn thing this guy says.
Well, that goes along with Hillary in the emails. You know, she's every week it's something else with Hillary. Every week. And she's doing the same thing Obama's doing. And when the media doesn't cover these things and they don't dig into it, and you know as well as I do, if this was Donald Trump on the other end or Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio or anybody in the conservative base who his emails were on their watch, oh, you'd be hanging from a tree right now.
Well, I mean, I've said this before, I guess, on the air. I'm not sure if I think I've said it to you. I'm not so sure if I've said it or on Facebook, whatever. I'm not sure if I've said it on the air. But if Ted Cruz or just pick your Republican, you know, Scott Walker, it doesn't really matter. If they had this email scandal and they had the Clinton Foundation scandal with all the money, they would already be wearing orange jumpsuits.
Yeah. It's true. Anybody says it's not, it's just you're either from Indonesia and one of those islands that doesn't know what's going on.
Well, maybe New Guinea might be better.
Oh, that's Indonesia.
Indonesia is a little more advanced than I think what you're claiming there. But still, I got to get your point. Yeah, I mean, God, okay, Hillary Clinton, let's get into this just quickly. Okay, two IGs come out and say that they – check this out. They took a small sample of 40 emails. In the 40 emails, they found four emails where there was classified information discussed in the emails, whether it was Hillary sending the emails or Hillary receiving the emails on her private unsecured server, okay? So they know for a fact that there was at least four emails, but that was only out of a small sampling of 40. We know for a fact that Hillary Clinton had over 30,000 emails that she turned in. She had over 30,000 emails that she deleted. Nobody knows what the hell's in those. And so if you take that 4 out of 40, 40 email sample, and there are four classified emails, that's 10%. So let's just assume that all 30,000 emails that Hillary Clinton deleted were, in fact, nothing. There's nothing in them. I don't believe that. Let's just say that that's true. That means there's 30,000 emails that she did turn in, and if the 10% ratio holds true, there's like another 3,000 classified emails.
Yeah.
Now the IGs didn't say thousands. They said probably several hundred. And then basically, if you took the 10% and cut it in half to 5%, that'd be like 1,500, which that would be several hundred. Actually, it's a little more than 1,000. But, I mean, the point is that, and here's the thing, she addresses this in a press conference this weekend and says, repeats the lie over again that she never sent classified emails on her account that were classified at the time. She's trying to parse her words like a Clinton always does.
Mm-hmm.
At the time. But the IG say that these emails were classified when they were sent and when they were received. It's not the question of they weren't classified then, but they are now. They're saying they were classified then. And she still denied it.
And she says the other phrase where when they finally catch her in a lie and they go, and she says, I didn't knowingly do that. You know, I didn't know, like I was innocent in the babe in arms. I didn't know I actually did that. If I did it, I didn't know I was doing it. So I should be forgiven.
Well, you know, I don't know about you, Ken, but I was always taught that ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Oh, yeah. And we're making light of it because this woman puts our country in jeopardy. That's treasonous to me.
Well, at the very least, I mean, she's guilty of being stupid, at the very least, for even having here's the thing. Think about this. Is it any possibility? I mean, let's just be real honest here. With 60,000 emails, 30 that she deleted, 30 plus that she turned in, okay? Is there any possibility out of 60,000 emails that she did not at least discuss something that was classified or should have been classified at all? I mean, that's just impossible that you would have. You're the Secretary of State, for God's sake. You're talking about all types of issues, about all types of countries, about all types of situations. You're trying to tell me that you never, ever, never discussed anything that might have been classified in 60,000 emails? That's horse crap.
To me, that's just, you know, that's secondary as a part of you're using your own server, number one. But that's
there's only one reason why you do what she did, and that is to have total control of everything, because she's a control freak, and she, you know, and we're supposed to trust her that she went through all this. And here's another thing that nobody has said: it was revealed this week that her lawyer has all those emails on a thumb drive. Okay, now let that sink in for a minute. He has all those emails on a thumb drive. My question is, A, does he have security clearance to have all that? Just because he's her attorney, that does give him security clearance to have possession of the people's documents, the State Department emails. Secondly, the people who went through all the emails and decided what was hers personal and what was State Department stuff, were all those people, did they have clearance to do all that?
I had heard.
I bet you they don't. I bet you they didn't.
Well, I'd heard that some of the problems she ran into was because of Sidney Blumenthal, that he had emails from her. Now, she may have, quote, deleted those emails. But, of course, you know, like we talked about before, she sends emails somewhere to somebody who has them, and they don't delete them, or usually don't delete them. And he turned over his emails to her. And four or five of those emails
were not in the stuff she turned in.
Right. They got her in trouble. That's part of the trouble you're talking about. So how many more emails are out there that we don't, you know, that we actually can discover?
And we're talking about one individual she was communicating with.
Yeah, one guy.
God only knows how many people she communicates with over her tenure at the State Department.
Well, that's part of the deal with her is that, you know, she thinks she's above it all. I think she was hired as a State Department. Who knows what went on here? But you know, she was hired as the head of the State Department, and she was told by the Obama administration she can't have Sidney Blumenthal. They didn't like that guy.
Oh, yeah.
So she turns around and hires him through the foundation.
Clinton Foundation, yep.
Right. So he's still in the loop, even though he's not, you know.
He's not getting paid by the federal government. Not getting paid by the State Department. But he was still advising her. And she said all this stuff that he was advising her was unsolicited. Yet in one of the emails, she literally says, keep it coming. Keep the information coming.
Yeah, well, she's paying him through the foundation. He's still on the payroll.
Why would you pay him?
That's solicited my ass. and does this not? Then you hear the story. This also came out this past week is that in those states, Iowa, Colorado, and Virginia.
Oh yes.
She loses this to Rubio. She loses to Walker. She loses to Bush. All three of those. Those are huge states in the election.
Yeah, those are just a handful. I don't know how she's doing, I guess, nationwide. She has had a drop nationwide. I'm not sure, you know, how much. But here's the thing. Think about this, though. Those early states like New Hampshire, Iowa, so forth, South Carolina, the people in those states are a little more in tune as to what's going on because they get to vote earlier than the rest of everyone else does. Let's just face it. People in Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, Arkansas, whatever, they're probably not as tuned in and don't know really. People just haven't paid attention to the election at all, really, at this point, really, for the most part, you know, really. And that's because there's no one in their state campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
They're only campaigning in those three or four states. So, of course, they would be a little more – they've already – a lot of those people probably already made their mind up or at least are getting close to it or whatever. But we only got about 2.5 minutes before we got to go to break. But let me bring up something here real quick. Do you see this article from the New York Post about Obama collecting personal data for a secret race database?
I've heard something about it, but I didn't read the article.
I actually read it, and essentially what's going on here, and this ties into another thing we need to bring up, and we might have to do that after break, but they are collecting gobs of information from American public, from all different sources, trying to collect information about all the races, and they're doing this in order to further administration policy. And here's one policy they're talking about, and you've probably heard about this one. Obama is trying to get HUD, the Housing and Urban Development, to force diversity on rich neighborhoods with increased affordable housing. And so, in other words, they would go into an area, and they would, let's just say your area in Atlanta, Smyrna, whatever, and they'd say, you know, this area doesn't have enough diversity. There's too many white people in here. We need to have more diversity. So the HUD is going to put some affordable housing, basically housing projects, in this area to increase the diversity of this area because you're just too white bread. You need a few black folks and Hispanics here and blah, 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 blah. Well, let's just pretend that's a good idea. It's a stupid idea, but let's just pretend that's a good idea that you do that. I'll agree that maybe it's a good idea when they put a housing project right next to Hillary Clinton's mansion in Chappaqua. Do you think in Chappaqua, New York, how many white folks you think in Chappaqua, New York? My guess is a lot. And there may be some people of color in her neighborhood, but you know what? The reason they're in her neighborhood is because they can afford to be in her neighborhood. Are you going to take people who have to have help with their housing every month, who are in some cases getting totally free housing, and plop them right next down to all those people in Chappaqua? Well, first of all, it'll never freaking happen in Chappaqua. I don't give a damn what is done. I'm sorry, I should have killed that before we started. This is nuts. It's just nuts.
Government overreach at its best.
Yep. Well, we'll be back. We're running a little bit late. Thank you for listening to Red State Town Hall. We'll be right back.
Red State Talk Radio, WRS Cleveland.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day. Studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic. And while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-7159 and get 2 bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month. So please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Okay, welcome back. Appreciate you sticking with us through the break. Let's move on. God, there's so much to talk about. Hey, real quick, we're not going to go into this real heavy, but there's an article on RedStateTalkRadio.com from the American Thinker about the U.S. Constitution needs a new Equal Rights Amendment. If you have time, take the time to read this article, because it talks about how, you know the whole idea of the Constitution is everybody's supposed to be treated equally and we're all, you know, whatever, which, of course, that doesn't really happen all the time. But it talks about how there's a new class of citizen in this country, and it's people who have to have anything to do with the federal government. If you're a federal employee and blah, blah, blah. And it talks about, and they lay out several instances of where the law applies to everyone in the world, but it doesn't apply to federal employees. And basically, they're a privileged class in this country. It's not just our politicians. It's if you work for the federal government in any way, shape, or form, you have special rights and privileges that no one else has.
Oh, you know, that just flies all over me. Flies all over me.
Oh, I know.
The first thing that pops in my head is the IRS. The people that can bust my door down without a warrant and come in my house. So they have special rights? No.
Well, they don't have to follow the law like we do. Like, for example, Obamacare. I mean, all kinds of but there's more than just Obamacare. This article does a great job of explaining some of this stuff. And it goes into situations where, like, for example, let's say you have property, Ken, and you don't pay your tax bill. You know, they can actually take your property and put it up for tax auction to pay your tax bill.
Yeah.
But you know, when they do that, Ken, they don't have to give you any of the money. Let's say you have a $100,000 piece of property. You haven't paid your tax bill. And let's say you owe, let's just say you owe $15,000. They can put that up for a tax sale. They can generate $40,000 worth of money from that, which pays your $15,000, and they pocket the rest. You don't get any of that money back. And see, that's a violation, because they're basically taking your property. What should happen would be, if you have a $100,000 piece of property, if they sell it and you don't pay your taxes, and they sell it for $40,000, and if you only owe $15,000, they should take the $15,000 and they should give you at minimum the difference between the $15,000 and the $40,000. Mm-hmm. Because it was your property to damn start with.
Yeah.
But in reality, they should give you fair market value of a property. If your property has been taxed at $100,000 value, you should get that minus what taxes you owe. So in really, you know, I mean, basically you've been, the government has stolen your property and give you nothing for it. So that kind of crap needs to stop. And nobody's ever even brought this kind of stuff up.
You know, there's so much. Did you see the commercial with Rand Paul where he's taking the 70,000-page IRS document and he's wood chipping it and cutting it up with a chainsaw?
Well, I hadn't seen that one.
He says that, you know, he wants to do away and go with a flat tax, fair tax. I don't know if or a combination of the two, which I don't know how you do that. But that's just the. And he's got the picture. He's got stacks and stacks and stacks of papers showing 70,000 documents, you know. And he's got the chainsaw and he's got the wood chipper next to him. And he's got the goggles and he's sawing through the
document. I'm not saying that one at all. I missed that one. So.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's – because he hadn't been in the news lately and he's trying to, you know, get his name back out there. But
Yeah, that's part true.
But I think that's part of the thing you're talking about, is that government has got so convoluted, and it's now become an entity to itself that it's right. You're telling me that a new equal rights amendment for just in federal employees, huh? What?
Well, no, I mean the whole point of this article was that we need to have a new equal rights amendment that basically says all laws apply to all people, no matter where the hell you work. No matter who your employer is, it's really what they're kind of getting at. And because right now, people who work for the federal government are a protected class. And that should not be.
Yeah.
In other words, if you work for federal government, if a law is passed that affects me and you, it affects federal employees too. And that's not the case right now. So, I think it's good. It's a good article. And if you read the article, Ken, it goes into some pretty good details and gives several examples of just things that are just, as you hadn't really thought about, you go, well, yeah, that's wrong. How the hell are we doing that? Why hadn't somebody said anything about this before? I mean, I think the guy did a really good job of bringing out stuff that I hadn't even thought of. To a certain
extent. It's because people get complacent with their lives.
We're all trying to make a damn living, pay our bills, taxes, and whatever, and they just go
with the flow. I mean, they don't. It's okay. I got to pay this. I don't like it, but I'm gonna pay it. I got to do this. I don't like it, but I'll do it.
And the reason you do that is because they can put a gun to your head and make you do it. It's the whole reason that you do it.
Well, it's like taxes and the fact that. You know, why don't they, if they made people write a check every month, the end of every month, to pay their taxes.
We've said that for years.
We would always, you know, these people would go, wait a minute, why am I writing these hundreds of dollars? I'm writing thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars, whatever your case may be. And the government doesn't do that. The government takes it out of from your employer.
So you never miss it.
You get the net check. You don't get the check before the taxes.
Yeah. Yeah, I've said this before. Forget the fair tax, forget the flat tax, whatever. If we kept our current tax system, and all you did was get rid of withholding, where that each person had to had to write the check at the end of every month, we would see a lot
of damn
change.
We would care.
Everybody would give a crap all of a sudden.
Yes, and then that would be the talk of the town. You would go to work going, you believe this? You believe that? And that's what you would be doing. You'd be on the phone talking to your friends. Do you believe they're doing this? They're making me do this? I got to pay this month. I got to pay this the next month. It's amazing. It's like my daughter when she first got she first got a paycheck. She said, but I'm making this much an hour. But I'm only getting this much, Dad. And I'm like, welcome to the real world. And then we had a little tax discussion. I said, this is what the government does. She said, but I make this much an hour. I should be getting this much. I said, no.
She's right.
Yeah. It should be yes, but no. The government knows you won't like it if you have to write the check after you get the money. So they take it out before you get the money.
A, not only would you not like it, B, not only would you raise mortal hell about all the spending, but C, yeah. Most people wouldn't write the damn check to start with.
There is the problem. You've hit the nail on the head. The IRS would not. There'll be no way they could get everybody that's not writing their checks.
Well, that's why they came up with this withholding scheme. There's just no way. You know, you just wouldn't do it. You'd say, come get me.
They wouldn't get their money. And people would care.
Yeah. Okay, we got to move on. But gosh, there's so much to cover. Hey, did you see this story from the Express in the UK, a newspaper in the UK? The Islamic State has threatened to, ISIS has threatened to use drones. Listen to this now. Use drones to drop bombs on crowds at major British events, like sporting events, you know, like soccer, etc. Anywhere there's a crowd, they're threatening to use drones to drop bombs and just have mass mayhem.
I don't know enough about drones. My experience is just I've seen guys go out in the field with the little radio planes, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that's what they're talking about, something those that can...
Well, some of these drones are some of them really sophisticated. I mean, they can fly thousands and thousands of feet up where, and they're small that you wouldn't even see them. You know, like when a plane, a 747 goes overhead, you hear that, you see that, you know, whatever. But a little drone's going, you know.
that's what we're thinking.
And it's thousands of feet up in the air, and so you're not going to hear anything. And that's the thing about the drones we're using to kill terrorists. Is those things are up there floating, they got cameras, they got laser precision and all this kind of crap, and the terrorists have no idea that they're taking their last Jeep ride. They don't have any clue that they're about to get blown all to hell.
And you're talking when you're talking drones, you're talking about drones that the U.S. government uses. I'm taking, you know, you're talking about that can actually hold a bomb, or it's like an airplane, a small airplane or something.
Right.
They can drop a bomb. Now, I didn't know ISIS had that capability.
Well, why wouldn't they?
I don't know. I know they've got, they've taken over a lot of cities there, and they've taken over the money that those cities had.
Well, they might have taken over some of our own drones when the Iraqis just took off.
Well, who then knows? you gotta have the intelligence to actually know how to use them.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, you can. There are simple drones. I don't know. Like, for example, here in my little town of Cleveland, Tennessee, 40,000 people, I have a client that had a video done for a project they're working on, and had these great aerial shots. It was a land development deal, okay? And they had these great aerial shots showing the buildings and showing the grassy, pastures, the trees and everything. And I thought, man, that's pretty good. And he said, you know how they got those camera shots? I go, He said, they got their own drone. And they use these drones to do these videos. And it was picture-perfect, high-definition quality film, okay? Not film, digital, of course, really. But my point is, I mean, I could buy a drone if I had enough money. I mean, some of them are not that expensive. But like in this case, they're just mounting a camera on it. But you know what? Some of these missiles and some of these bombs probably aren't all that heavy. And if you have a drone and all you can attach is one explosive device, think about this. We've all watched World War II war films, and you know how destructive a hand grenade can be, right? You ever held a hand grenade in your hand?
Not when it's live.
Right. Well, hopefully not. But here's the thing. I've held a hand grenade in my hand, and they're not very heavy.
No.
So what if you had a drone and you had maybe two hand grenades, one on each wing, and you go across a soccer field where a bunch of people watch a soccer tournament, and you just drop those two hand grenades. When they drop, it pulls the pin, and I mean, you know, and somebody's figured out, you know, how long it's going to take it for. I mean, you know, whatever. You could kill quite a few people just with a simple hand grenade. But my guess is they've got something more powerful and more deadly. It does not have to be a Hellfire missile or something like that. It could be something relatively simple that they could use. So what I'm getting at is, if they're going to do this in Europe, in the UK specifically, it's coming here at some point, is it not?
Yeah, well, another question is, why Britain? Why not France? Why not Italy? You know, why Britain?
Well, I think that's real simple, because the Islamic Muslim population is about to damn near take over Great Britain.
Oh, you think they have more access?
Well, there's more access. There's a lot of them there. There are in London, there are neighborhoods that the British police they don't go. There are no go zones. They basically have Sharia law already set up in certain parts of London. They're run by the Muslims.
Well, I've been to London, and I know going in certain parts of London, I didn't think I was in London, because I saw so many different nationalities.
Well, I mean, London is a major city. I mean, it has, like New York City is a major, obviously a major city, and there are groups of people from all over the world. And there's different parts of New York that are basically where a lot of the Italians live. And of course, in the old days, you had Italians, you had Irish, you had, you know, whatever. But now you've got entire groups of whether it be Asians or whether it be Arab countries, whatever. I mean, look at what our own government's doing. Look at what Obama's doing, taking all these Syrian refugees, supposedly refugees, and plopping them down in places like North Dakota and South Dakota and stuff, and all over. They're plopping them down in places where you wouldn't think they would even be. They're not plopping them down in like major cities like New York and stuff. They're plopping them down in places, and you live in a town, and it's mostly people here from the United States, and all of a sudden you got a significant segment of people from Syria, for example, all of a sudden in your neighborhood, courtesy of the federal government. And these people are not being vetted very properly. They're just dumping them here. All these people do is they show up and say, I'm in danger for my life. I want to get out of Syria. And so for some stupid reason, we just take them and dump them in all parts of America. It's nuts. Yeah. The amount of immigration that the federal government themselves have been forcing upon the United States because of this guy's policies. Okay. Let's talk about the
debate. Good news.
Yeah, not really. I hate to tell you. That's basically, That's the sad thing about doing a show like this is you spend about 90% of your time talking about crap that's going wrong in this country. Very seldom we get to talk about things that are going right in this country. We don't get to talk about that very much.
I know. You know, I listen to so much talk radio, and I do watch Fox a lot too, but the radio is my friend. I listen to talk radio on probably more than I do anything else. And I just I talk back to it, you know. Say, that's crazy. That's nuts, you know. And I'll say, you're lying, or those kind of things. And I go, you know, I got to stop doing this. I got it's pulling me down.
You get a little older, and they'll put you in a home somewhere. your girls will go, I think it's time, Dad. We need to put you away.
Dad, you got to stop listening to those.
The Fox News debate is coming up August 6th, if I'm not mistaken, in Cleveland. Not Cleveland, Tennessee, where I'm at. Cleveland, Ohio, I'm pretty sure, because Ohio's a swing state. People are not concerned about Tennessee. Tennessee's going to go Republican pretty much, regardless of what happens. So that's why they don't really show up here a whole lot. They know that it's a safe state, and they don't have to worry about it. But anyway, what I'm getting at is... they're talking about changes for this new GOP forum. I just hate that. I mean, I don't know when the cutoff for the polls is, but I'm still wondering if this whole idea of taking the national polls, which is really just name recognition at this point for the most part, is a way to pick who's going to be in that primary debate. They're going to have the second tier people in a debate earlier in the day. But they moved it from, it was going to be like at 1 o'clock, and they moved it to, I think, 5 o'clock. And they did so because it would get much better ratings and much better audience.
Well, how else would you do it, Primo? Draw names out of a hat?
Well, I don't think you could have 16 or 17 people on the stage. I think that would just be total nuts. But I'm not sure... I don't know if there is a fair way to do it. I'm just being dead honest. I don't know if there is a fair way to do it. I just don't know. I'm just afraid that some of the people who are going to be in the, quote, second tier debate are going to be some of the people that really should be in the first in terms of their ideas. And I know that's prejudice on my part, you know, in a way, but.
Well, I think you're right. But, you know, life's not fair. We all know that. I don't know how else to do it. I agree with you. I think Carla Fiorina should be in that first group.
I think she would shine. I mean, she would be so. I've listened to her a bunch, and I'm starting to really like her a lot. I still, Ted Cruz is probably my number one. If I had to choose, it would still be Ted Cruz. But I tell you, Carla Fiorina is like number two or three for me, at least in terms of what I've heard thus far.
She's a very smart lady, and
she's smart. She's a hell of a lot better looking than Hillary. Good God Almighty!
Oh yeah,
that's not necessarily a high threshold but she is an attractive woman. She is an attractive woman.
I'm counting on you to bring that up.
Well, I can't help it. Every time I look at Hillary, I go, "Oh Jesus Christ!" I understand why Bill did what he did.
That doesn't make it right, but you understand.
Doesn't make it right. I understand it. I totally understand it. Anyway.
Well, you know, I'm glad they're having the debates. I don't know about the fairness of it all, but I do know that there's going to be a lot of people watching because of Mr. Trump. And he had a big week again this week. You know, after what he said about McCain, you think that he would go down in the polls.
Yeah, you know what? I thought he would take a hit, and he actually has maintained it or maybe increased his lead. I'm not sure.
Well, McCain's not – He's more popular than McCain.
I appreciate his service.
Yeah, I appreciate McCain's service. I do. I appreciate him being, you know, in the Hanoi Hilton for 10 years. That's rough. I got it. But that doesn't make you a good politician.
Nope, it doesn't. And
he's not.
I think McCain was okay in the early days, but he's just gotten old, senile, and whatever the hell's going on with him. I don't think he's the same man he was even 10 years ago.
And I think that's part of the deal with Trump. I think because that Washington bubble, we talked about this. People get up there and they spend years and years and years up there, and it changes them. They get crazy. They get government absorbed.
They get so used to compromise that they don't stand on principle anymore.
Yeah. And I think they lose touch with so much in just reality and what people think and how people feel, and because they're not in that – they don't go back home and get a job and do the working thing. They're in that Washington bubble.
Well, think about Trump. Now, I've mentioned this before. He is hitting on – some cylinders that Americans love when he talks about immigration and so forth. But people just like his candor and his openness and honesty. Now, whether or not Trump believes everything he's saying, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But he is striking a nerve. And everybody talks about people are out of touch, and that's true. But you would think that Trump would be out of touch above everyone else because he's a billion freakingaire. So he's not just a millionaire. He's not just a rich politician. Of course, A, he's not a politician. But he is far wealthier than anybody else in the race. And what I'm getting at is, but the difference between Trump and all these other people is, Trump works for a damn living.
Yeah, well, he's not beholden to anybody. There's no lobbyist that can go up to Trump and say, hey, we'll give you this money to do this and say this and say that.
He could care less.
Well, I got billions of dollars. What do I need you? I don't need you. So that's another attraction that I like in him is that I know that he's not beholden to anybody.
Yeah. Now he's way down my list on who I'd actually vote for, but I am enjoying his candidacy thus far. It's refreshing.
Yes.
It's refreshing to hear.
Stirs the pot, isn't it?
Oh, stirring up the pot and just coming. We got to mention this real quick. We're just about out of time. Ted Cruz calling Mitch McConnell a liar. I think it's about damn time. I know that in the Senate, you're not supposed to do that kind of thing, but in this case, I think it's well-deserved. Because, like Cruz pointed out, that Mitch McConnell told him to his face three times that there was no deal on the XM banking deal. And I don't want to get into the weeds on that, but he said there was no deal, and then turns right around and he tries to force a vote. And a vote's supposed to be here today, sometime on Sunday. And Cruz just called him out on it. And McConnell's team has not responded in any way, shape, or form thus far because they know they're guilty as hell.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So it's better not to say anything. Just act like you're above it all and don't say anything, right?
Yeah, I think this never would have happened in the Democratic Party, and that's why I think that Cruz has been – it's such a refreshing thing for me to hear him say that and to call down his own party leader.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's rarely done in the Senate. Rarely done.
Yeah.
Well, time, Ken. You want to take us out?
If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. Right here. We'll see you next time.